Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tshuva Perek Vav. In this perek, the Rambam tackles the seeming contradictions between the fundamental notion of free will developed in the last perek and many psukim in Tanakh which seem to undermine it. He starts off the perek in Halach Aleph with a statement of the problem. Psukim harbe yesh ba-Torah uv'divrei nevi'im, shehen nir'in kisotrin ikar zeh, v'nichshalin behen rov ha'adam, v'yale al da'atam mehen, sh'akadosh baruch hu gozer al ha'adam lasot tova ora'a, v'she'en libo shel adam masru lo lehatoto l'chol asher yirtzeh. V'harei meva'er ikar gadol, shimimenu teida pirush kol otan ha'psukim. How do we explain many psukim, the Rambam will specify them in Halacha Gimel, which seem to speak of God decreeing that a person or group of people act in a certain way? The Rambam introduces his answer to this question with a new idea about how God can punish a wrongdoer, as he proceeds to explain. Bizman she'adam echad o anchei medina chotim ve'oseh chote chet she'asa midato uvirtzono, kmo shehodanu, ra'ui li para mimenu, v'akadosh baruch hu yodea he'ach yipara. Yesh chet she'adin noten she'nifra'in menu al cheto ba'olam hazeh, בגופו או בממונו או בבניו הקטנים, שבניו של אדם הקטנים שאין בהם דעת ולא הגיעו לכל מצוות כקניינו הם, כתוב איש בחטאו יומת עד שיעשה האיש, ויש חטא שהדין נותן שנפרעים ממנו לעולם הבא, ואין עובר עליו שום נזק בעולם הזה, ויש חטא שנפרעים ממנו עליו בעולם הזה ולעולם הבא. God decides what the appropriate punishment is for a sinner. Sometimes it will be a punishment in Olam Hazeh, and sometimes one in Olam Haba, and sometimes it will be both. Parenthetically, the Rambam says something here which is difficult to hear, but which has a source in the Midrash. One of the ways in which a person can be punished in Olam Hazeh, aside from loss of property and disease or injury to his own body, is through afflicting his young children below the age of Bar and Bat Mitzvah. The pasuk of Ish Bechet O Yumat, that a person dies only for his own sin and not for that of his parent, only applies to someone who has reached the age of mitzvot. Below that age, children are considered like property of the parent for the purpose of divine punishment. I don't have a satisfying explanation of this, nor have I found anyone who specifically argues with the Rambam on this point. Recall that in Hilchot Avodah Zarah Perek Dalid, we saw the Rambam's difficult psak that the children of worshippers of Avodah Zarah in an Ir Nidachat are put to death, which we try to interpret in a limited manner or based on the concept of milchama, war against the city. Some achronim read that psak in light of what the Rambam says here. Though, of course, that represents a significant extension, as here the Rambam refers only to divine punishment, and there, regarding Ir Nidachat, the punishment is at human hands. The Rambam goes on to say in Halacha Bet that for the vast majority of sins, tshuva has the power to ward off punishment. But in Halacha Gimel, he adds a new idea. Sometimes tshuva can be impossible. Halacha Gimel, ve'efshar she'echata ha'adam chet gadol o chata'im harbe, ad she'itain ha'din lifnei dayan ha'emet, she'ehe ha'piraon mizeh ha'chotei al chata'im elu she'asa birtzono umidato, she'mon'in mimenu ha'tshuva, ve'ein manichin lo rushut lashuv me'risho, kidei she'amut vi'ovad b'chata'im she'asa. Unlike the list in Perek Dalet of 24 behaviors, which the Rambam says were ma'akvim et ha'tshuva, make it difficult but not impossible, here he says that a person whose sins are especially severe or especially numerous can be punished in that he is prevented from doing tshuva, mon'in mimenu ha'tshuva, so that he has no choice but to die a sinner. He goes on to list several places in Tanakh where we encounter this phenomenon. Number one. Yeshayahu describes Bnei Israel as having their eyes, ears, and hearts closed off from the possibility of tshuva. Hashmein lev ha'am hazeh ve'oznav hachbeid ve'inav hasha penireh ve'inav uv'oznav yishma ulvavo yavin vashav varafalo. A similar pasuk in Divrei Hayamim speaks of Bnei Israel sinning so much ad le'ein marpei, until there is no remedy for their sins. Bnei Israel at the time had sinned so much that their punishment was to have tshuva closed off to them. Similarly, Eliyahu Navi, in an earlier period, states that Ata hasibota et libam achoranit, you, God, have turned their hearts away and prevented them from mending their ways because of the severity of their sins. That's the first example. The second, and probably the most well-known example, is that Hashem hardened the heart of Paro during the period of Eser Hamakot, before Yitziat Mitzrayim. Vani achazek et lev Paro. Paro sinned so terribly by enslaving Bnei Israel in the first place and depriving them of their freedom that now he would not have the opportunity for tshuva. Then why, the Rama goes on to ask, did Hashem bother to send Moshe to urge Paro to let Bnei Israel go so many times? This was solely in order to publicize to the world exactly this point. By witnessing Paro's inability to perform tshuva, any observer can learn that this is a manner in which a terrible sinner may be punished. Along similar lines, the Midrash in Shmot Rabbah points out that the Torah speaks of God hardening Paro's heart by Chazek Hashem et Lev Paro only in the last five of the Ten Makot. In the first five, the language is Vayechazak Lev Paro. Paro hardened his own heart. The Midrash explains that the punishment for Paro's stubbornness after each of the first five Makot was to be deprived of the ability to submit to God after each of the last five. We should mention in this context a completely different understanding of the hardening of Paro's heart, that of the Ramban in his commentary on the Torah. The Ramban's understanding is that this was not meant to deprive Paro of the ability to do tshuva, but just the opposite, to restore to him this possibility. In light of the terrible suffering experienced by all of Egypt during each of the plagues, and the destruction wrought upon the land and the economy, Paro was under immense pressure to let Bnei Israel go simply in order to end this ordeal. But Hashem wanted Paro to let Bnei Israel go not for these reasons, but only out of a willingness to submit to God and to fulfill his command. Only this would truly represent tshuva on the part of Paro. So he hardened Paro's heart in order to allow Paro to resist these external pressures and decide whether or not to free Bnei Israel solely on the basis of this one criterion. The third example. When Bnei Israel fought against the Canaanim in their conquest of the land of Israel, it is said in Parshat Dvarim about Sihon, the king of the Amori nation who ruled the east bank of the Yarden, and later in Sefer Yehoshua it says this about the Canaanite nations as a whole, that God hardened their hearts as they resolved to go wage war against Bnei Israel. Ki hiksha Hashem Elokecha et rucho v'imeitz et levavo. That's what's said about Sihon. And about the Canaanim, ki me'et Hashem aita lechazek et libam likrat milchamat Yisrael leman hacharimam. The Torah speaks in several places, most notably at the end of Parshat Acharemot, about the terrible and numerous sins of the nations who inhabited Eretz Yisrael before it was conquered by the Jews. And it was as a result of these that Sihon and the other Canaanim were punished by being prevented from doing tshuva, from standing aside and avoiding the destruction and slaughter of war. These then are the three examples the Rambam brings of his important principle of those who sinned so terribly that they were not allowed to do tshuva: Bnei Yisrael during the time of Yeshayahu and Eliyahu Hanavi, Paro at the time before Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and Sihon and the Canaanim when Bnei Yisrael were about to enter and had entered Eretz Yisrael. This takes us through the end of Halacha Gimel, so we continue with Halacha Dalet. Uve'inyan ze shualim hanevim v'atzadikim b'tfilotehem me'ashem lo'ozram al derech ha'emet. Kamo shamar David, horeini Hashem darkecha. Klomar, al yimneuni chata'ai derech ha'emet shemimena eida darkecha v'yichud shimcha. V'chein ze shamar, v'ruach nidiva tismecheni. Klomar, taniach ruchi la'asot chefza. V'al yigremuli chata'ai limon'eini hachuva. Ela tieh harishut biadi ad she'echzor v'avim ve'ida derech ha'emet. V'al derech zo kol hadomet lipsukim elu. We find places in Tehillim where David HaMelech asks Hashem to help him avoid precisely this situation of not being allowed to repent. Even if I sin, says David HaMelech, let my soul do as it wishes and don't close off the path of tshuva from me. Halacha Hei. Umahu zesh amar David, tov yashar Hashem, al kein yorech hata'im baderech, yadreich anavim bamishpat, vilameid anavim darko. Ze sheshalach lehem nevi'im modi'im lehem darchei Hashem u'machzirin otam b'tshuva. Va'od shenatan behem koach l'lmod u'lehavin. Shemida zo b'chol adam shekol zman shu nimshach b'darchei ha'chochma v'atzedek mit'ave lehen v'rodef otan. V'hu she'amru chachamim bali teher misayin oto. Klomar yimtza atzmo ne'ezar al hadavar. Another difficulty from a pasuk in Tehillim in which David HaMelech speaks of God helping the sinner to do tshuva. In what sense can God help if tshuva depends entirely on the free will of the sinner to mend his ways? The Rambam answers that there are two ways in which God can help. First, by sending a Navi to urge the people to repent. Second, Hashem made it part of human nature to be drawn to tshuva. The more a person learns about truth and the proper path, the more he desires to follow it. This is the meaning of the statement of Chazal in Masechet Yoma, Ba'li Teher Misayin Lo, one who wishes to be purified finds himself receiving divine assistance in doing so. The Rambam concludes the Perek with a different version of the earlier difficulty about hardening of the heart. In the Brit Bin HaBetarim in Parshat Lech Lecha, Hashem decrees to Avram that his descendants will be enslaved by the Egyptians, Vavadum v'inuotam. And at the end of the Torah, Hashem tells Moshe that after his death, the Jewish people will sin by worshipping the foreign gods of the Canaanim inhabiting Eretz Yisrael. V'kam ha'am hazeh v'zana acharei Elohei nechar ha'aretz. How can it be foreordained by God that people will sin? Doesn't this contradict the principle of free will? The Rambam's answer is that since no specific individual was decreed upon to sin, but rather the decree was stated regarding a group of people, the Egyptians as a whole, Bnei Israel as a whole, no one's free will was violated. Anyone who wished to could choose to do good, and God's decree could be fulfilled by others. He compares it to the statement, such and such large group of people contains some tzaddikim and some rishaim. The statement is certainly true, as any large group of people contains some of both types, and yet it doesn't obligate any single individual in the group to be a tzaddik or a rasha. The Ravid does not like this answer at all. As God's decree must be fulfilled through some people sinning, how can it be said that every individual can choose not to sin? This isn't like the statement that some large group of people has some tzaddikim and some rishaim, as that statement is a statistical near certainty, but in theory could be false, whereas God's decree must come true. So some people must sin because of God's decree, hence it is not fair to punish those who do so. The Ravid gives two alternative explanations why God was able to punish the Mitzrim despite his decree that they would sin. First, the Mitzrim were guilty of many other sins for which they deserved punishment. The punishment they ultimately received was no worse than that which they deserved for sins unrelated to Hashem's decree that they enslave the Jews. Second, the Mitzrim didn't only enslave the Jews, as Hashem decreed. They caused them suffering and pain to a far greater extent than the minimum required by the promise to Avram at the Brit Bin HaBetarim. It was for this extra that the Mitzrim did that they deserved punishment. Thank you for joining me in learning today's Perek of the Mishneh Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next Perek.